having come to our Lord in prayer, praying that the Holy Spirit would illuminate us to his word this hour. If you would turn with me to the Gospel of John, chapter 10, we will read verses 7 through 13, and then we will turn to Isaiah 43, and we'll read the first 13 verses, and our text will be verses 8 through 13 this morning. At 1 John 10, beginning in verse 7 to 13. Then Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All whoever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But a hireling, he who is not the shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep." Now turning to the prophet of Isaiah, we'll read the first 13 verses, and again our text will be verses 8 through 13. "But now thus says the Lord, who created you, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I gave Egypt for your ransom, Ethiopia and Seba in your place. Since you were precious in my eyes, you have been honored, and I have loved you. Therefore, I will give men for you and people for your life. Fear not, for I am with you. I will bring your descendants from the east and gather you from the west. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not keep them back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, I have formed him. Yes, I have made him. Bring out the blind people who have eyes, and the deaf who have ears. Let all the nations be gathered together, and let the people be assembled. Who among them can declare this and show us the former things? Let them bring out their witnesses that they may be justified. Or let them hear and say, it is truth. You are my witnesses, says the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me, and understand that I am he. Before me, there was no God formed, nor shall there be after me. I am the Lord. And besides me, there is no Savior. I have declared and saved. I have proclaimed, and there was no foreign God among you. Therefore, you are my witnesses, says the Lord, that I am God. Indeed, before the day was, I am He, and there is no one who can deliver out of my hand. I work, and who will reverse it? God add blessing to His holy and inerrant word. This morning, we'll continue to look at Yahweh revealing Himself as the great I Am throughout the Old Testament, specifically Isaiah 43. He is telling us about His work that He is doing. At the end of chapter 42, Yahweh tells us that Israel, the visible church on earth, had failed in their commandment to be a blessing to the nations, which was that they themselves were to live for God and point the nations of the earth to a Christ to come. This is the only nation on earth that has tasted the bounty of God. They have experienced God's love, His protection, His saving power. They've experienced the promises and a loving relationship with God. However, Israel, the church, has sinned and has lusted after the gods of the nations willingly. Israel has walked away from their God, who promised to be their God, and that they would be His people. We have learned that due to the sinfulness of the visible church, that is Israel here, that they are to be exiled from the promised land. This being a picture of God casting us out from His eternal presence, from His heavenly land that He has prepared for us. However, we also learn that there is a remnant. There are some elect within this nation of Israel, those whom God has kept for Himself, those who refused to bend their knee to a foreign God, who sought after the one true living God. And Christ was going to call these elect back from the nations. He was going to do a mighty work through that calling. In the first 7 verses of Isaiah 43, we learn that the nation of Israel strayed and sinned and were to be exiled. But this does not mean that Yahweh has abandoned His work of making a people for Himself. He has not rescinded on His promise given to this nation back in Exodus chapter 6, verse 7. Where Yahweh proclaims, I will take you to be my people, and I will be your God. And you shall know that I am the Lord your God, who has brought you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. So in the first 7 verses, Yahweh tells the true Israel, God's elect, that it is not the work of the nation Israel to redeem, but rather this is His work. And He is going to continue to do this work. Why? Because it is for His own glory. So today, as we move through this wonderful chapter, we are uplifted that the work of calling and redeeming the church does not fall in the lap of sinful men, but is being done by the power of God. And as we move into verses 8 to 13, we have what appears to be a courtroom scene. God is questioning the peoples of Israel and the nations. He is looking into their hearts and asking them, who is your witness? at Judgment Day, who will speak for you? Yahweh is revealing himself to us as God, and there is no other. There will be no other who will pronounce you innocent on the day of judgment. The question is just as applicable to us today. Men may say that there are many paths to heaven, and the one that you feel is right for you is what you should do. This is blasphemy. The one true living God. There is only one true living God, and there is no other. Here in verses 8 through 13, Yahweh tells us that I am the Lord, and besides me, there is no other. And this sounds very familiar, doesn't it? We hear it every Lord's Day. Exodus 20, verse 2. The very beginning of the Ten Commandments, God reveals, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. The second part of that verse, God is saying that he is their Savior, our Savior. Yahweh has saved Israel and us from their oppression, their slavery. Again, physical slavery being a picture of the spiritual reality of men being slaves to sin. So this is not new news. But as the Lord has been saying, you have ears, but you do not hear. You have not been listening. One of the major sin problems of Israel was that they had given up the promises of their Savior and embraced the idol gods of the surrounding nations. So can these gods save them? Can these gods bring them into the presence of the one true living God? So I'd like to look at this text with you in 3 points this morning. First, we'll look at verses 8 and 9, where false gods witness. Verse 10, Israel witnesses. And then thirdly, verses 11 through 13, Yahweh proclaims. So you may have noticed as we come into verse 8, we enter into a smaller pericope, which simply means a smaller literary section. We have entered into the courtroom of God Almighty. We should approach all scripture with reverence, but especially as we think here, we are taken into God's own throne room, his own judicial court. So before we get too far, I want to ask a question. Are you prepared this morning to stand in God's court? Are you ready to give answer for your life before the Lord your God? Think about this question and ponder it as we look at the text before us. So we first need to ask, who are the people that verse 8 is talking about? So as we look back a couple verses, the 6 and 7, God commands that the nations to the north and south and everyone whom God calls to come. This is the effect of God's calling. The people of the nations are to hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, and his elect will be made to hear. The people of the nations, the Gentiles, were made with ears, but have not heard. And they were made with eyes, but they have not seen. And here God is commanding them to come out of the nations and come to him, come to his holy hill, that they may hear and that they may see. So the first thing we see, we have God calling his own, his elect, out of the nations. As Yahweh has mentioned in the first few verses of this chapter, this is his own work. In verse 1, we read, "But now thus says the Lord, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine." Here we have the same thing being applied to the nations as well as to Israel. God plans on creating, redeeming, and calling. This is the only way in which these people will have ears to hear and eyes to see. God will do this work among the nations. John Calvin writes on this verse by stating, "The Lord did thus when he brought his people out of Babylon. But undoubtedly the prophet looks farther, that is, to the kingdom of Christ. For at that time believers were gathered not only out of Babylon, but out of all places of the earth. This was seen openly and singularly at Peter's first sermon, when many persons from various countries united in the same confession of faith. They were shown that they were children of Abraham." God calling out the blind to see and the deaf to hear. This takes place before the nations are assembled. That is, before the great day of judgment. That is, right now, today, we proclaim Christ far and wide so that Christ's sheep can be brought in when they hear his voice. Christ's gospel message is to go out to the nations, and then Christ will do the work of creating, redeeming, and calling. Can we not glorify God here? God has not abandoned his church. Even though Israel failed in promoting Christ to the nations, even though we may fail in our task of going out to the nations, God is still doing this work. He commands his elect to hear and to see. So now in verse 9, we have the summons. God has summoned all the nations to come into his court and to bring testimony. The great day of judgment. This is not a simple request that one can choose to disobey. All the peoples from all nations have been summoned to the courtroom of God. There is not one man, woman, or child that is excluded from this summons. In that summons, our Lord is going to ask you, "Who among you can declare this and show us the former things?" In other words, you all serve other gods, and I don't care if you are a raving atheist here today. You believe in a God. That God may be yourself, but you believe in a God. Man and woman, we were created to worship. It is the very essence of our being. But due to sin, man worships all sorts of gods, and not the one true living God. Some bow down to wood, gold, idolatrous imaginations of God, money, perhaps yourself, sports, science, family, you name it, someone worships it. And God asks you, which of your gods can deliver you from sin and bondage? God has already demonstrated that he can and that he is able to deliver from bondage. God tells Israel, "Remember the former things. What former things is he talking about? Remember the Exodus. The Exodus where God mightily delivered Israel with great acts of judgment by his outstretched arm. Remember the cross. God's mighty act of taking the punishment that we deserve. This great act of grace and mercy. Has these false gods done anything like this? God commands the nations, produce your witness. Which God that you have worshipped had the power to predict future events like God did? Which among your gods were loving and long-suffering like God is? Which God among you can save you from your sin? And sin being against the one true living God alone, just as David proclaims. Call your witness. God is waiting. Produce him. Let this God prove that you are right. Where is this false God now that promised all those nice things? Now that you're standing in the courtroom of God Almighty, can money deliver you now from the wrath of God? How about your family? How about that golden statue? How about yourself? It's getting awfully quiet in the court, isn't it? There will be no one to come to testify. A person who worships a false god will stand alone. Have you been called by your Savior? Have you heard and seen the glorious gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ? Or are you worshiping a God that simply cannot save? A God that is stupid and dumb? Where will science be when you're standing in the courtroom of God? Science points to Christ if you have your eyes open. He created everything. He created that block of wood. He created that lump of gold. He created your family. He created you. Again, where is the witness for this false God? If it is not Jesus Christ as your witness on the day that you are standing before him, on the day that you die or that Christ returns, it will be silent in the courtroom. I plead with you. Do not let this be so. Because if no other than Jesus Christ testifies for you, you are going to hell. How else can I say it? If you're not given eyes to see and ears to hear now, hear while you're living, the lies that you have been hiding behind will be ripped away. And what will the condemned say at this moment? The second part of verse 9 tells us, no witness will be produced for these false gods, and these people will proclaim, it is true. Again, Calvin sums this up so wonderfully. Now the Lord was ready to teach if they had only been willing to hear him with candor. And a better teacher could not be desired, but pride and haughtiness will not suffer them to see the truth or to listen to God. They are therefore without excuse, for they disdainfully reject his public instructions and do not assent to his doctrine. The nations will be forced to say, what Christ says is true. Is this not what Paul teaches us when we read from Philippians 2:10? so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Christ creates, redeems, and calls. He is the only one who can do that. Do you follow Jesus Christ? Or a God who simply cannot save? Verse 8 and 9 tells us that there is no witness for these fallen foreign gods. If you worship a false god, when you stand in God's courtroom, there will be no one to come to your defense. So if these foreign gods have no witness, does the true God, the living God, our Lord Jesus Christ, have a witness here on earth? Verse 10 testifies that the true God did leave one witness on earth that would bear witness to the one true living God. Verse 10 proclaims, "You are my witness, declares the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me no god was formed, nor shall there be any after me." I would like to use a common illustration of today's age. Well, maybe not today's. Maybe this was a 90s thing, so maybe I was dating myself. Knowing that all illustrations ultimately fall flat. But say you are a manufacturer of a great steak knife, and you want everyone to know about that great steak knife. What would you do? Would you put that knife next to all the other knives and hope that someone would choose it? Not a chance. You would want to promote that knife, that people would want to see it in action. We've all seen those infomercials, maybe back in the 90s, I guess. They get someone, usually someone like a famous chef or the ordinary home cook, to try out that knife and testify how wonderful it works. They're bearing witness to the quality of that knife, how that knife has changed their life in the kitchen. And you see that knife in action in the hands of that famous chef or that home cook, and you say, "I want that." Well, God does not need to sell himself. He is God. He does not need our approval. But in a way, God uses the nation of Israel not only to teach the Israelites about himself, but the world as well. He is teaching the world about the one true God and what Christ is coming to do for his people. Through the example of the people he is already working in. The way that Israel worships and the laws of their nation that they uphold is to bear witness to the world, and it explains to the world that there is one God who redeems a people and saves them from their sin, and shows the world what a people looks like who live for Christ. So we now need to take this a little further. Israel was a picture of the visible church. The nation of Israel, or the church, was to point to Christ. So applying this to today, the New Testament Christians in the church are to point the world to Christ, with an added emphasis of not just pointing, but going out into the world and teaching and sharing Christ outwardly to the world, as Jesus explains in his Great Commission. Yahweh is saying there is no witness for the false gods. It is silent because there is not another God. But the one true living God has left a witness. And that witness is his church. E.J. Young sums this up wonderfully by stating, "Israel, you are my witnesses. And not only are you my witnesses, you are also my servants. That God has dealt graciously with the world is manifest by the history of Israel. That nation is a living testimony to the fact that the true God has sent salvation into the world, that he is strong and powerful to deliver and to save. God has chosen Israel that they might witness to him and be his servant." You see, God wants to redeem a people for himself. Verse 10 tells us simply how he's going to do that. There's two ways. The first way is Israel. The church of Jesus Christ is to bear witness about Christ. He says, "You are my witnesses." And the second way, and the most important way, is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. His servant, whom the Father has chosen. And that's it. The church is Christ's witness, pointing to Christ. And Christ came to us and works out his plan of salvation so that we may know and understand that he is God. There is no other God before me. So far in these verses, we learn that there is no one to give witness to the idolatrous gods of the nations. And secondly, God has left a witness on earth to point to himself so that he could teach them that he is God and there is no other. He has truly left us without excuse. We as fallen men and women can fall into the trap of fear of men, can't we? What is Christ asking us to do here? All Christ is asking us to do is to be a witness. Point to whom the message is from. But we act like people who are personally attacking us, don't we? People do not want to hear that they are sinners. And they don't want to hear that they need to repent and believe in Christ. Unrepentant sinners cannot actually lash out at God, so they lash out against his message and his messengers. It can be a hard thing to be on the receiving end of scorn of men. But think about our Savior as he brought his message of good news. Our Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ, was scorned, taunted, insulted, beaten, and crucified for his message. We are given a very special task as the church, and we must be careful right here. The nation of Israel, and for us as New Testament Christians, can fall into this trap. We can often think we are the message. The church, come and worship at our church. We have it right at our church. We have a proper liturgy. We have the proper understanding of the sacraments. We have the most biblical form of church government. And all these things are good. We should be searching the scriptures and making sure that we're doing things in a proper biblical fashion. There's a significant job for the church in teaching and instructing and nurturing in Christ those under its care. However, the church is not the message. The church is to be like John the Baptist. The church is to bear witness to Jesus Christ, who has the ability to save. All those inside Israel were not saved. It is not the nation of Israel that saved the nations. It was the one true living God to whom it was pointing. So if the nation of Israel or the church is not pointing to Christ, it is failing to do its job. Can we see a correlation here? The nation of Israel failed to point the nations to Christ, which was an indication of their own hearts. You see, when the nation failed to be a blessing to the nations, they were failing to worship the one true living God themselves. Do you individually, does this church point the world to Christ? It is a health indicator, if you will. If we are not pointing to Christ out there, we're not pointing to Christ in here. This is a sober warning for us all. In verses 8 through 10, we've been told there is no witnesses for false gods because they're exactly that, false. And God graciously and lovingly, because he wanted to redeem a people for himself, left a witness on earth to worship him and to point the nations to him as a beacon. And here in verse 11, we receive the glorious proclamation of Yahweh. The great I am speaks, I am the Lord, and besides me, there is no other. Yahweh is the only Savior. Foreign gods are not saviors. The nation of Israel is not the Savior. Christ is the only Savior. There is only one. One way to be saved. This is testified throughout our whole scriptures. Again in Exodus 22, verse 2, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. Isaiah 43:11, I am the Lord, and besides me there is no Savior. And we read from John 10 this morning, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. He will go in and out and find pasture. Jesus is revealing himself as the great I am. Here in this text, we see that we've been studying this morning, Yahweh states boldly and clearly that he is the Lord and there is no other. He is the only Savior. And now in John 10, Jesus proclaims that he is this same Yahweh. He is the door. There is only one God who can save, and that is through our Lord Jesus Christ. Can we not see the long suffering of our Lord and how he deals patiently with his people? The nation of Israel had fallen away horribly from God and his promises, and they are to be exiled for this. However, even in judgment, Yahweh calls out his elect with his promises, I am the Lord. I declared and saved and proclaimed when there was no strange God among you, and you are my witnesses. And again, we have our Lord Jesus Christ in John 10, I am the door, the only door. Our God deals patiently with us. We fall away, but he remembers his covenant. Let's just say I gave you a job to do. Let's make it something really important. Let's say I gave you the job of investing my money for my retirement. I would say that's pretty important. I will need that money later in the future to survive. And now let's say a number of years later, I come back to you and I want to invest more money and I ask how my investments are doing and you told me, well, actually, we spent your money on other things. What do you think I would do? Do you think I would give you more money to invest after the first time? Of course not. But what do we see here at verse 12? I declared and saved and proclaimed when there was no strange God among you, and you are my witness, declares the Lord. And I am God, and you are my witnesses, declares the Lord. Not you were my witnesses. We as men have failed significantly, but God is pleased to keep us as his witnesses, his church. What is going on here? Again, can we not see the long-suffering of our Lord and the power of our Savior? Yahweh says, I declared, I saved, and I proclaimed. He does this work, and not us. We cannot save a single soul. Christ does this. And when he does this work of declaring and saving in our hearts, we witness to this fact. We blurt it out. We bubble over witnessing to this fact. Verse 12 says, when there was no strange God among you, when people looked to Christ, they could tell this had to be the work of God. Their strange gods could not do anything like this. When Christ works in your heart, you know it is him. Money cannot save like this. Neither can gold. Neither can Allah, Buddha, any of those things. Yourself? It is only when God works in our lives, when he saves, we are undone. We have no choice. We are then his witnesses. We proclaim to the world, look at what my Savior has done for me. What is this? In verse 13, Yahweh says, and henceforth I am he. There is none who can deliver from my hand. I work, and who can turn it back? Yahweh tells us from this point on, I am he. He is continuing to do this work. Again, we return to John 10. I am the door, the one and only God. I am the good shepherd. God's work cannot be stopped. He is the one true living God, and he is redeeming a people for himself, for his own glory. And when he does this, we bubble forth, becoming his witnesses. As we conclude, we should draw this together, making just a couple of applications. First, we learn that Christ, our Lord and Savior, is continuing to call men and women out of the world. Yahweh demands those who have fallen to different God to call upon their witnesses to the efficacy of their God. However, the court will remain silent as there is no other God. We then learn that it is Israel, the visible church of God, who is to witness to the greatness and awesomeness of their God. They are to proclaim that there is a Savior, in how they have been powerfully saved. And that Savior is Jesus Christ. And when Yahweh himself calls us to himself, when he creates, redeems, and calls you from the world, you become witnesses of Christ, the living stones of the temple, the new Israel. And Christ will continue to do this work until the end of days. There is no God that can prevent Yahweh, Jesus Christ, from doing this work. Jesus Christ is the great fulfillment of this passage. We now know more fully that Yahweh, that is proclaiming, I am the Lord, and besides me there is no Savior, is our Lord Jesus Christ. I am the door, There is no Savior but Jesus. He is the only one who declares and saves. The small g gods of this world cannot do this work. Jesus is our Savior, and there is no other. Has Christ revealed himself to you as the only Savior for your soul? Have you been shown that you are dead in your sins and the gods of this world will not produce themselves to give an account for you on the day of judgment? If today, this morning, you do not proclaim that Jesus is the Lord and there is no Savior besides him, do not delay. Reach out to him. He is the Savior. That is what he wants to do, is to save. Run to him. Cry out that you are a sinner, that you need Jesus Christ, the only Savior for his elect. When Jesus works in our hearts, we are now to testify and a witness to what Christ has done for us. We were dead in sin, and now we are made alive. We are his witnesses. This is the job of us as individuals, but also as the church as a whole. We need to point others to Christ. We are his witnesses. We are given a very serious charge by our Lord and Savior during his ministry on earth concerning this witness. In the Gospel of Mark, chapter 8, where Jesus is foretelling his death and resurrection, he tells us the following: "For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him will the Son of Man also be ashamed when he comes into the glory of his Father with the holy angels." The Israelites failed to witness to Christ to the nations, but this was just an expression of their hearts. They had forgotten how Christ had powerfully worked in them. They cast aside their Savior for the world. How very sad. Have we stopped witnessing of Christ to our neighbors, friends, colleagues, or family? If we truly believe that Christ is the only Savior, then we will be his witnesses. If we're not witnessing to the work of our Savior, this is an indication of a greater heart problem. Israel was to be exiled over this heart problem. How about us? Is this us? I pray this is not so. Do not get me wrong. This is his work and not ours. Christ is the only Savior. He is the only door. But we praise God and our mouths overflow and witness to the greatness of our Savior. I pray that you would leave here today overflowing with the love for what your Savior has done for you. And that is, save you from destruction. Witness to the love and grace and mercy that the Lord has shown you, and tell others that he can save them too if they bow their knee to Yahweh, the only God and the only Savior for his elect. Amen. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, you have told us that you are our Savior, the only one. You are the door. Besides you, there is no other way to come to the Father. And there is only one Father. Lord, we pray that as you work in our heart, that you will make us spring forth in joy and be your witness in Woodstock and beyond, that we would become a great witness for you in our families, our communities, our workplaces, that others would know that you are the one true living God. Help us to witness and not just tell what you say in the Bible, but that we would witness what you have done for us in our own hearts. We pray this in Jesus' name alone. Amen. Let us stand and sing in response 270 at the name of Jesus. 270.